sense.
One of the first words that comes to my mind is compassion. But what do we truly know about Joseph? According to the scriptures, what do we know about Joseph? In fairness, not a lot. Joseph is kind of a minor character in the larger Christmas story. In the book of Mark, we learn that he is a carpenter. In Luke, we know that Joseph was with the family when Jesus was about 12 years old. We know that he was there at the birth. We know that he was originally from Bethlehem. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, though, that we find out more details about this person, Joseph. And so pick it up in chapter 1 at verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So what do we know about Joseph? We know that apparently he is righteous. To say that someone is righteous does not mean that they are perfect. It does not mean that they are without blame. To call someone righteous is to say that that individual seeks to do what is right. They don't always succeed, but they're going after what is right. Apparently, Joseph is the type of individual that routinely tries to do what is right. Now, you might be asking yourself at this point, oh, Mike, you said that when you think of Joseph, you think of compassion, but nowhere in what you just read did it have the word compassion. True enough, but what I just read is filled with compassion. Hear again these words. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. That screams compassion. Based on the evidence at hand, Mary has committed adultery. She is pregnant outside of wedlock, and according to Deuteronomy, the punishment for that is execution, stoning, having the person drug out into the streets, people in the community grabbing rocks and throwing them at her until she is dead. But that's not what Joseph does. Joseph chooses, and I love that word, he chooses not to accuse her. He chooses not to press charges on this individual. He shows compassion. Walter Wangren, in his book, Preparing for Jesus, writes, Joseph's righteousness honors God and God's will above the will of the self and even above the love of another, but it is tempered by mercy. In other words, Joseph's righteousness was made evident in his compassion. Wangren goes on to write, what then is righteousness? These two things, the obedience we owe to God and the mercy God grants us to others. Again, Joseph's righteousness was made evident in his compassion. This is before Joseph is ever visited in a dream where he learns about the reality of Mary's condition. Before he ever knows the identity of the child in Mary's womb, before he knows any of that, he chooses to show compassion. Many years later, the child that Joseph helped raise would be an individual that lived a life of remarkable compassion. Have you ever stopped to wonder where Jesus learned what compassion would look like? Now, to be fair, this is what Jesus would say. He would say, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." And when Jesus is talking about the Father there, he's not referring to Joseph. He's talking about his heavenly Father. And he says that, "I will do nothing that I don't first see God, my Father, doing." Whenever you see Jesus, you see the embodiment of the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus, you have the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. If you want to know what the character and nature of God looks like, look at Jesus. Look at what he does, look at what he says. And there you get a picture of God, because he is God in the flesh. But I wonder if the compassion that Jesus would show was not in some way influenced by the compassion he saw in Joseph. Joseph, based upon the apparent sin of Mary, could have had her publicly executed because of her apparent adultery. 30-some-odd years later, a woman caught in adultery is thrown at the feet of Jesus. And based upon her apparent sin of adultery, Jesus could have had her killed, but instead showed compassion, just like Joseph had done some 30 years earlier. If you take those two events and put them side by side, they are remarkably similar. In both cases, Joseph and Jesus showed compassion. But here's the problem that we have. The word compassion is a loaded word. In the 6th chapter of Mark, In the story that would eventually lead to Jesus feeding the 5,000, it says that Jesus, when he saw the crowd that were like sheep without a shepherd, it says that he was filled with compassion. Problem is, that word compassion in the English language is kind of weak. When we think of compassion, we think, oh, compassion, it means, oh, those poor people, they're hungry. Problem is, the Greek word, this is my all-time favorite Greek word for compassion in that moment, is splagnixomai. Don't ask me to spell it. But when it talks about splagnixomai, it's literally referring to one's stomach, their guts. And so the word picture, when it talks about splagnixomai, is that the individual that has splagnixomai feels so deeply for the people that are hurting that he feels as if his stomach is being ripped, that his guts are being torn. So when it says that Jesus was filled with splagnixomai, it is saying that he looked at the lostness of those people. He saw their pain, he saw their shame, and he was so moved that he felt as if his guts were being torn apart. That is way beyond, oh, those poor people. When Jesus saw the crowd, and he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, in response to their lostness, he was moved with compassion. And out of that, he cared for their needs. He cared for their physical needs. He fed them. He fed 5,000 people. He cared for their spiritual, emotional, relational needs. He taught them. That's splagnixomai. That's compassion. But then you add compassion to my second favorite Greek word, which is agape. There are four Greek words that we translate as love: eros, storge, philia, and agape. Best definition of agape I have ever heard is to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for someone else. So when you read John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son," it is agape there. For God so intelligently and intentionally did what was best that he gave us his Son. "A new commandment I give you," Jesus would say, "love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." agape. A new commandment I give you, as I have intelligently and intentionally done what is best for you, so you are to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for others. All people will know that you are my disciples when you intelligently and intentionally do what is best for someone else. And when you take this idea of splagnixamai and agape, when you take the combination of compassion and that kind of love, the result is something very, very powerful. In the case of Jesus Christ, when he combined the splagnixamai, the deep pain he felt for people that were lost, when you combine that with him intelligently and intentionally doing his best for other people, the result was the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor hear the good news. When you combine the love and compassion of God in the person of Jesus Christ, literally all of creation is changed. Because when you take the splagnixomai, compassion, and agape love of God in Jesus Christ, what you have is Jesus willingly going to a cross and taking all of our shame, all of our pain, all of our sin, and allowing himself to be hammered to a cross so that we might live. We see the compassion of God evident in the life of Joseph the carpenter. And we see the compassion of God played out in its fullness on the cross. During the season of Advent, during the season of preparation, should we be a people that practice compassion? Obviously. Are there ample opportunities during the Advent season to practice a compassion spurred by love? Obviously. But during the season of Advent, it is important for us to create time and space to become increasingly aware of the compassionate love of God for us. Do you dare believe that when God sees your pain, when God sees your shame, that it moves him deeply? Do you dare believe that God has compassion towards you? Do you dare believe that he would love you so much that he would willingly go to a cross so that nothing would ever need to permanently separate you from his great love for you? During the season of Advent, we will be a church that will seek to show compassion to others. We will seek to know the pain and need in our community and do something about it. But we also need to be a church that takes the time to be completely overwhelmed by the reality that God has splagnixomai and agape for us. Go ahead and take a look.
The compassion of Jesus is the compassion of Almighty God. And Jesus says to your heart and mind tonight, don't ever be so foolish as to measure my compassion for you in terms of your compassion for one another. Don't ever be so silly as to compare your thin, pallid, wavering, moody, dependent on smooth circumstances, human compassion with mine, for I am God as well as man. When you read in the Gospels that Jesus was moved with compassion, it is saying his gut was wrenched, his heart torn open, the most vulnerable part of his being laid there. The ground of all being shook, the source of all life trembled, the heart of all love burst open, and the unfathomable depths of the relentless tenderness was laid bare. Your Christian life and mine don't make any sense unless in the depth of our beings we believe that Jesus not only knows what hurts us, but knowing seeks us out, whatever our poverty, whatever our pain. His plea to his people is, come now, wounded, frightened, angry, lonely, empty, and I'll meet you where you live. And I love you as you are, not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. Do you really believe this? That with all the wrong turns you made in your past, the mistakes, the moments of selfishness, dishonesty, and degraded love, do you really believe that Jesus Christ loves you? Not the person next to you, not the church, not the world, but that he loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity. That he loves you in the morning sun and the evening rain, without caution, regret, boundary, limit, no matter what's gone down, he can't stop loving you. This is the Jesus of the Gospels.
This morning, because I believe it's important for us as followers of Jesus to be intentional. Whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's singing or praying, or that we take time to be intentional about what we are doing. And that would also include, we need to be a people that are intentional about reflecting on the reality that God loves us. That because of the splagnixamai, compassion and love, agape of Jesus Christ, our lives have been made new. We have been transformed, and a new day has come. We need to be intentional about remembering that. And so here's what I'm going to do, and just because I like doing this to people without letting them know, I'm going to grab Ruth, and I'm going to grab Amy, and I'm going to grab Megan. I would grab Daryl, too, but he's going to be playing on the guitar. And could you guys please come up? Because in just a moment, Daryl's just going to start to play. And what we have is they're going to have nails up here. And we're going to ask, before we sing our last song, take a moment of intentionality and come forward. And they will give you a nail. And when they give you the nail, they'll say just one word to you. Compassion. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is two things. As we sing the last song, hold on to that nail. Feel it. But then take the nail home with you. And I would encourage you, if the tree is big enough or real, hammer that nail into your tree. And as you do, remember the compassion of God shown to you. Or take the nail, hang it from a limb. But when you're ready, we're going to have nails up here. Come on up. We'll just say a single word to you. Compassion. Then take the nail, go back to your seat. Once we've all had a chance to come up and be intentional about remembering the compassion of Christ, then we'll sing the last song and we'll do the rest of our service. So when you're ready, won't you come up?